When it comes to the great social issues of our time, is Christianity relevant? Tens of millions of people have left mainstream churches over the past few decades. Many young people find traditional Christianity's approach to everyday issues, especially issues like sexuality, euthanasia, and abortion, to be irrelevant at best, or even oppressive and mean-spirited. Is Christianity doomed to join the wasteland of meaningless philosophies, or is real biblical Christianity our only hope beyond today?
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Culture, religion, the definition of family, concepts of right and wrong, the entire relationship between what it means to be human and the reality of God have been going through titanic shifts over the past decades. Traditional Christian themes of sin, redemption, and piety seem to be out of date in dealing with drug addiction, the heartache of broken families, single parenthood, or the latest political debate where both sides quote Jesus as their authority. Where once denominations argued over doctrinal issues like baptism by sprinkling or immersion, many people now question the need for such ancient customs. The quaint Bible stories of a shepherd becoming a king, or Daniel being thrown into a lion's den to be saved by God, seem as relevant as the ancient tale of Homer's Odyssey. Can biblical Christianity regain relevance, or is it doomed to pass into history and morph into a new religion? We're going to tackle some hard questions today, but if Christianity is going to be relevant in the 21st century and relevant to your life, then these questions are going to have to be asked and answered. First, we are joined by pastor and author Larry Greider, who wrote America, Renewal or Ruin. And Larry, thanks for being with us here today.
It's great to be here, Gary.
I found your book very interesting, very fascinating. You looked at trends that are happening in society and the government of the United States. And the conclusion you came to is that the U.S. is at a very important and dangerous crossroads.
Absolutely. I feel our country is at a crossroads, especially in our modern world, where so much of what we had in the past, where there was a very strong dedication to a God that we saw as our divine provider and the great God who gave us the great wealth of this nation, there's been a very explicit desire to remove that God from our religion and our politics and especially our schools.
And when you say our, you mean in the traditional history of this country?
Absolutely. This country was known to be based on principles that came right out of the Bible. And even though our forefathers did not want any sectarian bias in religion, that felt that the principles that came out of the Bible were very much needful for this country to be able to thrive.
Now, one of the things you continually bring up in your book is the crisis of values. Now, it seems today when you, I don't care what political party it is, any candidate gets up and talks about values. And everybody seems to quote Jesus as their authority. What do you mean by values when you talk about values in your book?
Well, values were always values that came right out of the scriptures. And the Bible used to be the final arbiter of really any argument. That if you could discover something that was in the pages of the Bible and were principles that were known to have worked, then that, of course, is what America believed in. But nowadays, the idea of just whatever feels good, whatever works for you, is really the divine right, I guess, of a modern American, has really undermined, I feel, the security that this country has in a belief in a God.
So you think we're in a values crisis?
Absolutely. We are in a values crisis. I thought I would share with you something that I put in my book, if you don't mind. I'm not the only one who've noticed some of these trends. Morris Berman wrote in his book, The Twilight of American Culture, about this palpable shift in our culture. He says, and I quote, "One could argue that in the case of ancient Rome, the collapse really did look like a collapse. But in our case, it looks like a kind of renewal. What we are seeing can perhaps be more accurately described as a large-scale transformation. The question I've had is, transformation to what? Where are we going?"
You know, it's interesting because as we live through this, historians in the future will look back on this differently. But as we go through it, it's so subtle, the changes take place over time, that we don't realize how great the changes are. Now, you and I were talking earlier about something that's in your book I find fascinating, is the difference between the movies, how they've changed over the years.
Great point. I think people relate to movies, and movies often capture the feeling or the angst of its citizenry. And I felt the case I think you're referring to was a script that was used to make an Academy Award-winning film by Gary Cooper called High Noon.
One of my favorite films.
And I think 40 years later, it was redone in a movie that Clint Eastwood performed in called Unforgiven. High Noon opens in the morning sunshine with a wedding. Unforgiven opens in the night rain in a brothel. High Noon starts with a kiss, Unforgiven with a slashing of a prostitute. Will Kane, the hero of High Noon, is a U.S. Marshal. Will Money, hero of Unforgiven, is a reformed killer and alcoholic reduced to pig farming. High Noon is set in the town of Hadleysville, Unforgiven in a town called Big Whiskey, whose sheriff, Little Bill, is a sadist. High Noon ends with order restored. Unforgiven ends essentially as it opens in the dark and the rain and sorrow and violence. High Noon was about physical bravery, moral courage, about overcoming fear and fatigue, about doing what was right no matter what the cost. Unforgiven was about weakness and revenge.
So in the end, these movies sort of picture, and one may seem quaint. I guess if people see High Noon today, they may use the word quaint. But they really picture a shift in society as far as values.
I think so. And I think that's probably a point that many people would give to you, that there is obviously a change in the morality in this country. And the problem is that morals, oven by themselves, are not defined as they used to be. That the average person feels that they can define for themselves what is good and what is right. I personally feel, and so evidently did our founding fathers, that there were some absolute values that you could actually build a nation on.
Now, you make a claim that you feel that this crisis of values is actually more threatening to the United States than terrorism. You actually believe it's that serious?
I believe so. Remember, a lot of civilizations of yesteryear decayed from within rather than without. I think of the Roman Empire and, of course, other civilizations that are long since passed. America is a very powerful nation. We have the ability to protect our borders with our amazing military arsenal. But when it comes to the moral fabric of its people, I question whether or not we have the same resolve and the same sense of stability that we once did.
You know, we wrap this up in the term postmodernism. We're almost up against a break here. But real quickly, give a succinct definition of postmodernism.
Postmodern is really the attitude that there are no absolutes, that whatever works for you is good for you, whatever works for me is good for me, and I'm more concerned about how I feel rather than how you think I should act. So I think in a nutshell, that kind of sums it up.
So it's more subjective than objective. It's more based on personal feelings than some kind of measurable truth.
Certainly, they don't want a yardstick, somebody to tell them, you act this way because I told you to. They want to make a decision for themselves as to how they feel they should live their life.
How has postmodernism affected Christianity? We're going to be joined with Dr. Ralph Levy in our next segment, but first this.
Like most people, you try to think about your life to improve it, make it the best you can. Choose right values, friends, and beliefs. But do your thoughts work out? Success in life comes down to the spiritual choices you make. That's why you should call toll-free right now, 1-888-886-8632, or go online for Making Life Work, a stunning free publication that explains the universal principles that make you succeed in life. Apply the principles that will build a family for you, a foundation of happiness. Learn practices that always work when you have children. Get principles for developing strong friendships that last a lifetime. Understand the connection between the right use of money and your inner peace. It's all in your free copy of Making Life Work by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or going online to beyondtoday.tv.
When we talk about can Christianity be relevant, the real question we're asking is, how do I make life work? That's why we're offering today Making Life Work. And we want you to really have a copy of this. It's absolutely free. There's no charge. We're not going to ask you for money. And you can go online at beyondtoday.tv and see these programs and order any literature that we offer on the program. You know, our society faces some critical issues. How we answer those issues will in the next few years determine the future of this country. And let's face it, many of us are mentally and emotionally numbed by the endless debate on talk radio, television, and in the print media concerning politics, abortion, homosexuality, and religion. In this segment, author and pastor Larry Greider and I are joined by Dr. Ralph Levy, associate professor of Ambassador Bible Center here in Cincinnati and a regular contributor on Beyond Today. Ralph, thanks for being here.
Good to be back here again, Gary.
You know, before the break, we were discussing postmodernism. You know, a majority of people in this country used to find stability in traditional Christian values. That's not so for many people today, and I think that really is at the core of what we call the culture wars, isn't it?
Yes, it is. A lot of people feel that Christianity has been discredited. They blame Christianity for a lot of the ills of society. A lot of the things that were once generally accepted by everybody have now been rejected. But really, what is at the core of a lot of this debate about postmodernism and the rejection of Christianity is a question that's a little uncomfortable for some people. It's the question of absolutes. And people who wish to reject the concepts of Christianity and what's presented in scriptures that used to be regarded as holy by just about everybody is that there are absolutes, there is a creator, and he gives us, in absolute terms, a way to live. This tends to get overlooked and evaded, but it's a question that has to be looked at.
So you're talking about absolute truth that applies to everybody?
Yes, applies to everyone.
Well, let me ask this then. One of the major questions we face as Christians is, can the Bible be relevant in the 21st century?
The Bible is relevant for not only the 21st century, Gary, but really for all time. The Bible is God-breathed in the sense that God says he gave us his word, his revelation. He defines his purpose, his plan for mankind. And now we really get the broader question, and that is, what is the purpose of a man's life on the planet? And it's amazing how that we could use science to support the natural laws that we use every day. We expect when an aircraft rumbles down the runway that the laws of aerodynamics allow it to lift off, and we bet our life on that every time we get on a plane. Yet somehow mankind doesn't get the connection that life is something that's very tenuous, and it has a purpose, and there is a life giver who has a purpose for him, and it is defined in the pages of the Holy Bible.
So there is moral cause and effect, just like there's physical cause and effect.
I absolutely believe that. Yeah. And I think that is the empirical evidence that's laid out in the Bible, the stories of various characters that show us their faith, their belief in that. And God actually shows us, through taking us through the story of civilizations prior to ours, that the material there is as relevant for today as it was at any time in history.
Well, Ralph, what has postmodern thought, the effect that that has had on mainstream Christian churches?
Postmodern thought, I think, has invaded mainstream Christian religions, not just the culture and the society, as Larry talked about, but I'll give an example of something that I came across a number of years ago when I was working on my PhD and was asked to take some classes at a very well-noted and highly respected Protestant seminary in this country, in the United States, and went into some of the classes and discovered, to my astonishment, that many of the professors were teaching things quite contradictory to what the scriptures clearly indicate on the subject of morality and homosexuality. There was almost a kind of a deconstructionism that had set in that seminary. And I can remember seeing some of the students who would often come in knowing what they believed and sometimes go out not knowing what they believed. So it really had an impact.
And of course, that's affecting all of society. Many people now, and especially young people, tend to look at the Bible many times as being judgmental, irrelevant, sometimes even parts of it as being evil. And which brings us to questions we get asked. I know you all get asked as a professor, as a pastor. I get asked as a pastor. Let's deal with some of those questions that are based in postmodern thought. And I think this is one that we've all heard many times. Look at the history of Christianity. Jesus preached to love each other. Yet many Christians have propagated racism, sexism, homophobia, the Crusades, religious wars. Why should I trust Christians? Ralph, how would you answer that?
It's a good question. You know, I'm probably some of the people watching this program going to be asking that same question.
It is a legitimate question.
It's a legitimate question. And I think the answer to that is actually quite simple. Many people espouse different philosophies and different systems of belief, and sometimes they don't live up to them. The fact that Christians, in quotes perhaps, but in the broad sense, have been responsible for massacring people in the Crusades doesn't necessarily mean that that was the teaching of Jesus Christ. In other words, sometimes people don't live up to what they espouse. It's the H word, hypocrisy. They don't live up to what Jesus Christ taught.
You know, Dr. Levy mentioned about deconstruction, and I feel that is exactly what's happened to Christianity. That we've had people that have taken the Bible, used it for their own benefits, and haven't been honest with the text. And I feel the Bible is very, very relevant, and it does speak to a way of life that is called love, which means outward concern for other people. But that has to be defined. That doesn't necessarily play into the postmodern idea of you don't tell me what is love. I'll find that out for myself, and if it feels good for me, that's good enough.
We're back to this. Everything is subjective. Everything's based on feelings instead of the idea that there are objective sets of truth. Now, you couldn't take the same approach to science.
No.
But it's amazing that we'll take the same approach to morality. Here's another question, or an accusation, I guess, that's made against Christians many times. Christians are so intolerant of other people's values. How do you deal with that accusation, Ron?
You hear it a lot in the modern world, don't you? Yes, that's right. And I, at risk of using a cliche, but it's a cliche that captures something, many people have heard that we are supposed to love the sinner but hate the sin. And that really is a good synopsis of the biblical position. So there is a difference between being intolerant, which is the charge against Christians, and having convictions. Christians should have convictions about what is right and wrong as defined by the scriptures that they venerate and live according to that, and that doesn't necessarily bring with it intolerance because they hold themselves to that and then wish to show it and teach it to the world, but not force it on people. It's not a question of forcing it.
Of course, we're all sinners.
We are.
I mean, it's often been said the gospel is just one starving man telling another starving man where to get bread.
That's right.
So,
and really, the cause and effect that you alluded to earlier really is very substantive of what we're talking about today. Because you should be able to apply things that are laws, if we call them laws. We just made reference to physical laws, and now we say there's a like spiritual law, that you should be able to see the result. And I feel that most people have to give it a good shot, and I don't think in modern times we have the same sanctity for the Word of God as another generation once did.
I think it's so important what you've been talking about in the realization that just because some people who claim to adhere to a certain set of beliefs don't always meet the highest standards, that doesn't erase the highest standards. Christianity has a lot of questions it needs to deal with if it's going to be relevant. We'll be back to ask some of those questions and answer them for you right after this.
Success in life comes down to the spiritual choices you make or don't make, the decisions that make life work or don't make it work. Like most people, you try to think about your life to improve it. That's why you should call toll-free right now, 1-888-886-8632, or go online for Making Life Work, a stunning free publication. That's 1-888-886-8632, or going online to beyondtoday.tv. Every family needs a steady diet of good news, so get yours with your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll regularly read about how to apply principles of family success that always work. Raise happy children, enhance and solve problems in your relationship, and move ahead by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for the good news. Help your family succeed.
And when you order today's booklet, we will send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine. This comes out 6 times a year, and it is filled with important articles on how you can make your life work by looking at the Bible and finding out what your Creator has for you. We're back with Dr. Ralph Levy, an author, and Pastor Larry Greider, discussing the difficult questions and issues Christianity must deal with if it is to remain relevant in today's society. In the last segment, we talked about the accusation that Christianity promotes intolerance, which leads us to another question about the concept of absolute truth. How do Christians respond to the assertion that what is true for you may not be true for me? Larry, how do you answer that?
Well, Gary, truth is truth is truth. we have no problem when it comes to some of the sciences of understanding that there are laws in effect. If an airplane is rumbling down the runway, we expect those laws of aerodynamics to give it lift and we could go someplace.
The plane's designed to do that.
Exactly. Well, why can't we then understand that this human life that God has given us, there has to be a purpose for this life, and that purpose has to be explained someplace. The Bible says that it is defining for us what our purpose is. I feel that we need to be studying exactly what the Bible says about our destiny.
Now, a response to this from some people would be, isn't it arrogant, though, to say that there's absolute truth that somehow you get from the Bible and applies to everyone? Isn't that arrogant, since truth is what I feel?
I feel it's more arrogant to say that the Bible is not true. What is your proof that it isn't? There are many, many places in the Scripture that have foretold prophecy. It does make many claims about human nature. It does explain to us the cause and effect that allows a person to have happiness. What we know about the family, what we know really about the soundness of relationships, treating our brother with respect and consideration. Those are things that have been around for a long time and have worked for many a civilization.
It's a problem with free will, isn't it? Once you give us the choice, we can choose a lot of different directions.
You can choose whatever you want. And ultimately, when we look at this whole matter of knowledge and definition of right and wrong, there can only be two sources, ultimately. Either it's knowledge that comes from inside human beings, science and so on, all the rest of it, but including the humanistic approach of what feels good. And then the only other possible source could be a supernatural source, a great spirit being, our creator. And so Christians will appear to have a different source of knowledge. Christians have a different source of knowledge because they read and come to understand what this other invisible source says.
Now, a lot of people will come up with this response to what you just said, and that is, every human being is searching for an identity, who I am. We're talking about purpose for life and identity. And they'll come up with, who are Christians to invalidate my sense of self-worth, my sense of identity, or my group's sense of identity, and who we are, if that somehow disagrees with the Bible?
Maybe the real question is, what am I? We are living, breathing creatures that have a very limited time on this earth. Life is frankly very fragile. There has to be a purpose or a plan for that life, or I guess we might as well all eat, drink, and be merry, kind of the Epicurean attitude. I think it's very important that we consider that there is a very significant purpose for human life.
And every human being has value.
Every human being does have value, and I think probably considerably more value than some people understand.
Ralph?
The accusation, well, where do you get off disapproving? Christians do make a strong claim. People who study the Scriptures and bring their lives into conformity with what they find in the Scriptures, in effect, by their lifestyle, are saying that it is possible to come into contact with one's Creator. It is possible to come to act and conduct one's life as He instructs, and even to begin to think the way that the Creator thinks. And from that flows not intolerance or judgmentalness, but an awareness of what it is the Creator tells all humanity is right and what is wrong, and therefore an understanding that there are certain ways of life and behaviors that our Creator tells us are not good for us, that He doesn't approve of, or that He labels, to use the biblical term, He labels them sin. That's an old-fashioned term, but it's an important term. Not popular, but we need to use the term, I think.
Well, Gary, Ralph just made me think of something about really the clash that's going on between two different ideologies that really center on religious themes. We have the Western world kind of in conflict against the Eastern Muslim world. And I remember a little vignette that I saw the other day where a soldier was commenting on how strange it was that during a moment of prayer in that part of the world that the whole country stopped to pray. I find that curious in this modern 21st century that somebody notices that other people do have religious values that really drive them.
And how much more? I mean, when we realize what we're talking about here, the purpose for every human being, the purpose that a Creator God gave us, not just for this life, but for life to come, how much more should we be motivated to find that purpose, to live by that purpose, to have a relationship with God, to go to the Scripture? But now we're going to the Scripture, but now we have another problem. And that is, when you go to the Scripture, you'll find that there are dozens of different Christian viewpoints of the Scripture. So is it true that the Bible or interpretation of the Bible is determined upon basically your, once again, personal viewpoint?
Well, people would claim that. People point to this multiplicity of denominations and say, well, look, they all teach different things, and so you can't really figure it out. And the logical conclusion of that is that we've got a book that is incomprehensible. Now, obviously, God didn't give us a book that's incomprehensible. And there are certain principles that I learned many years ago and have taught to people, young people and others who wish to understand the book called the Bible. And that is, if you take some of the simpler things, the more straightforward things, the clear things, and take those as your starting point, and then take the more difficult scriptures and begin to understand them in the light of the simpler and clearer and straightforward scriptures, that will work for you. And also, very often, Scripture will interpret itself. Sometimes Scripture itself unlocks a metaphor or a symbol, and the Bible will explain it elsewhere.
So it's better to start with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount than trying to understand a minor prophet like Zechariah.
I would think so, yes. That's a good starting point. Yes, that's right.
Well, certainly people should at least start reading it. I mean, it's easy to judge something you know nothing about, but maybe it's best to go ahead and pick one up, blow the dust off, and read it for yourself. You might be surprised what it actually says.
I think a lot of people would be surprised. You know, you grow up in a certain denomination, or you go to a certain church, and you think you know what the Scripture says about a lot of different subjects. And then if you actually get it and study it from cover to cover, you find that not only does God have a remarkable plan for humanity, but many times what he actually says, how he sees things, is quite different than even mainstream Christianity.
Yes, indeed, yes. And we've all talked to people who, after really studying the Bible and studying it in the appropriate way, with a willingness to put into effect in their lives, you know, the key is unlocked, and they discover, just like you said, many of the doctrines that are clearly biblical are so different from what they've been taught in the past. And it's a wonderful discovery, and it isn't unattainable. It can be done, because many thousands of people have done that.
Do you even know what the Bible really says? Maybe it is time to pick it up and blow the dust off and get into it and find out what the Creator God has for you and your life. We'll be back right after this.
Success in life comes down to the spiritual choices you make or don't make, the decisions that make life work or don't make it work. Like most people, you try to think about your life to improve it. That's why you should call toll-free right now, 1-888-886-8632, or go online for Making Life Work, a stunning free publication. That's 1-888-886-8632, or going online to beyondtoday.tv.
Nothing is going to get better in your life until you accept that making the same choices are going to create the same problems. You want your life to change for the better? How about turning to your Creator for the solutions? How about turning to the Bible to find real biblical Christianity? The teachings of Jesus are the most relevant information you can ever find, though what he actually taught will surprise you. We can only scratch the surface of, can Christianity regain relevance? So we're asking Larry Greider and Ralph Levy to join us again next week to discuss Christianity and postmodernism. So you'll be able to join us next week.
Right. Yes, that'd be good. Yes.
Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today. And thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.